listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Colonel Peter Monsoor, U.S. Army retired. He is now the Raymond Mason Chair in Military History at Ohio State University, but he's also the former executive officer to General David Petraeus in Iraq, and from June of 2003 to July of 2004, Mr. Monsoor commanded the Army's 1st Armored Division's 1st Armored Brigade, and he's also the author of a brand new book, Baghdad at Sunrise, A Brigade Commander's War in Iraq. And Colonel, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Obviously, when looking at the time of your service in Iraq, it's obvious you came there about a month after major combat operations were declared over, but that's also about the time that we started to see that the insurgency was going to be more than a lot of people had anticipated. What were some of the first things you noticed upon arriving in Baghdad that the aftermath of major combat operations might not be as smooth as we anticipated?
Well, I don't think that timing is coincidental. I think, in fact, that the decisions made by Ambassador Jerry Bremer in large measure created the insurgency. The first big decision was de-bathification of Iraqi society, but he cut so deep that he not only put out of work Saddam Hussein and his cronies, but tens of thousands of ordinary Iraqis who were employed as university professors, doctors, lawyers, engineers, civil servants. And this really disenfranchised them, put them out of work, and created the political basis for the insurgency. And the second decision was to disband the Iraqi army, which could have been called back to the colors and used to help stabilize and secure the Iraqi people in the post-major combat operations phase. Instead, those hundreds of thousands of soldiers were put out of work, and tens of thousands of officers were dishonored, disrespected, and left without pensions and a future. That created the military basis for the insurgency. So with two strokes of the pen in the first 10 days of his tenure as the head of Coalition Provisional Authority, Ambassador Bremer, set the stage for what was to come. This became increasingly clear over the course of the summer of 2003 as violence increased and we could see the germination of the insurgency in the first roadside bombs.
You and your men were focused on an area of Baghdad known as Rusafa. Explain what your role was there and what you encountered on a daily basis.
Well, Rusafa and Adamiya were our two districts in central and northeast Baghdad. There was about 2.1 million Iraqis. We had 3,500 soldiers in the brigade combat team, so it was a real challenge to counter the chaos in the streets, the organized crime that had erupted in the wake of the collapse of the police force and the Ba'athist security institutions. There was a lack of government services, electricity was scarce, the heat was pretty fierce, and it was a challenge just to survive, much less accomplish the mission.
In terms of the tactics that the insurgents used, what did they do, and how well prepared were we for what they were throwing at us?
We were really well prepared for the gun battles we got into, the ambushes. Our soldiers really never lost an engagement in that regard. The roadside bombs took us by surprise, and that began a long series of actions, counteractions, and reactions as one side would use a piece of technology to counter the other, and then the other side would respond. And that was something that we saw early on. We instituted procedures to try to counter the roadside bomb threat, but we knew it was going to be something that we were going to have to contend with for the long haul, and that turned out to be the case.
Elaborate, if you can, on the adaptations that your men had to make. What was the thinking moving forward, and how well did they roll with having to basically scrap the initial plan on what was going to follow major combat operations?
Right. Well, the lack of planning for an occupation and the lack of planning for the restoration of civil and governmental services, the lack of troops really forced the commanders and the troops to improvise and be flexible in their application of the force that we did have available. We had to stand up whatever Iraqis we could bring over to our side and hire them as security guards, for instance. We had to engage the Iraqi people to try to bring them along and get them interested in creating an Iraq for really all Iraqis to tamp down the seeds of the insurgency. And that involved standing up advisory councils, getting people involved in meeting with us, engaging the educational institutions and the Iraqi tribes as well, which we put a great effort into tribal engagement.
What impressed you most, sir, about your troops? And are there any stories from that year that really typify the type of courage and ingenuity that our men and women in uniform possess on a daily basis?
Well, really, the one constant in that year in Iraq was the courage and the adaptations of the American soldier to the really stressful environment and their steadfastness in prosecuting the mission. It's incredible the way they were able to respond to a very difficult situation and a plan that had gone awry. You know, there's a great story in the book where the soldiers are, there's a team that's trapped on a roof of a building and surrounded by insurgents. And the decisions made by the leaders of both the team and its rescuers to defeat the insurgents and rescue the soldiers on the roof, one of whom had been seriously injured, I think exemplifies the kind of flexibility and adaptations and courage that our soldiers showed on a daily basis. And that that story, by the way, is in the prologue to the book, and it's also listeners can read it on my blog at BaghdadAtSunrise.wordpress.com.
We're talking with Colonel Peter Mansour, U.S. Army retired. The book is Baghdad at Sunrise, A Brigade Commander's War in Iraq. He also commanded the 1st Brigade of the U.S. Army's 1st Armored Division from mid-2003 to mid-2004 in Iraq. And also, sir, as we mentioned a moment ago, you served as Chief of Staff to General David Petraeus in Iraq. Tell us what you saw in him as he undertook the immense task of putting together the surge and counterinsurgency strategy.
I went with him when he took command and served with him for 15 months during the height of the surge. So I saw it at firsthand, and I think, you know, he's highly intelligent, energetic. He was really the key figure in changing the strategy, in letting our troops know that the priority was now the protection of the Iraqi people, to insulate them from insurgent and terrorist violence, getting our troops off the big bases and out into the communities to live among the people 24/7, and really changed a war that was nearly lost in 2006. And, you know, I think to him goes much of the credit.
And what do you anticipate from him as he takes on an even bigger job now of head of U.S. Central Command?
Well, I think he'll approach it, you know, with a great degree of intelligence. He will not be an optimist or a pessimist. He'll be a realist. He'll assess the situation, and he'll carry on from there. I think he'll find Afghanistan to be, if anything, even a greater challenge than Iraq was. It'll be interesting to see the kind of strategic changes that he institutes for that conflict.
Colonel, just about 60 seconds left here, and obviously the book is a great examination of what went right, what went wrong, some of the challenges, frustrations, and successes during your time in Iraq. When folks are done reading it cover to cover, what do you hope they understand about what happened and is happening in Iraq?
Well, one reviewer, in fact, called the book balanced, perceptive, and merciless, and I can think of no three words I'd rather have applied to it. You know, I tried to be forthright about what went right and wrong. I hope the reader carries away with him or her an understanding of the nature of war and how it is enduring over time. That, you know, this idea that we can quickly finish off wars with a high-tech force from great distance and not have a lot of soldiers engaged on the ground, that doesn't happen often in warfare. And we have to be prepared to engage and endure for the long haul if we want to be successful.
Colonel, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
Well, thank you very much.
Colonel Peter Mansour, U.S. Army retired, former commander of the 1st Brigade of the Army's 1st Armored Division, former executive officer to General David Petraeus. His new book is Baghdad at Sunrise, A Brigade Commander's War in Iraq. He's also the Raymond Mason Chair in Military History at Ohio State University. This is Dateline Washington.